Finally, the Fifth Circuit recently came out, this looks weird on my screen, but and cautioned against, there it is, Lufkin Industries. An employee accused a supervisor of race discrimination, and then the company did an investigation, and guess who the investigator was? The supervisor. I know you'll be shocked to find that he made a substantiation of no discrimination. So the Fifth Circuit said that is not a good idea. We want to bring in an investigator that does not have any sort of self-serving interest. All right, let's shift over to sexual harassment. Can you think of anything that has happened lately in the sexual harassment world? And like Seinfeld, I think we all know what it is, and it is the Me Too movement, a movement that started in October of 2017 when an actress, Alyssa Milano, first tweeted the hashtag Me Too and when we first heard allegations against Harvey Weinstein. Interestingly, Me Too has been translated verbatim into every language in the world. Can you believe that? Well, not every language, every country. I suppose there are some not very often used languages that maybe didn't, but every country in the world has translated Me Too, except for one, and it is France. And I don't think this is going to surprise you, but instead of Me Too, France decided to go with hashtag balance ton porc, which means out your pig. Out your pig. So they do hashtag balance ton porc and then the name of the harasser. Isn't that funny? Yep. They do things right over there. All right. So since the initial allegations against Weinstein, there have been 201 well-known or infamous or notorious people who have lost their jobs, their roles, or their contracts. An example might be Kevin Spacey, right, who lost his job on House of Cards, if you guys watch that. Of those 200 people, 53 women and 70 men replaced them, including the woman who replaced Kevin Spacey, whose name I'm totally blanking on. Robin Wright. And I don't really watch that very much, but I did watch the last one, and I don't know if you guys saw it, that at the end, she looks into the camera. Do y'all remember this? And the last thing she says is, now it's my turn. It was just such a beautiful work of writing on that. So big changes are coming. And of course, this is just the 200 that the media is really focused on. There are plenty of others. And I want you to know that nonprofits, of course, are not immune from allegations. First, I want to apologize. I'm going to show you four examples, and if any of you are with these organizations, I apologize. But the truth is, this could be any of us, right? So one is Oxfam, which is a British-based organization, but they're in 90 countries. It was discovered in 2018, after Me Too, that they failed to act on allegations that several of their leaders paid Haitian earthquake victims for sex while working there. And if you Google it, it's pretty awful, and it wasn't the first time. And some of this had arisen back when it first happened some 5 years ago, but it really wasn't closely looked into and uncovered in the way it should have been, again, until after the Me Too movement. A second one is the American Red Cross. They've been in trouble again in 2018 because they provided a glowing reference to a senior leader who resigned after allegations of sexual harassment. So he was forced to resign, and then he went from American Red Cross to Save the Children with a glowing review from the American Red Cross. They never mentioned that he'd been forced to resign, and it's not good. It's not good. USA Gymnastics has been all over the news, of course. Their entire board was forced to resign after Dr. Nassar's now well-publicized abuse of many of the young athletes. And finally, the Humane Society, they had allegations of sexual harassment from several of their employees, which resulted in the resignation of their CEO as well. So certainly these allegations are pervasive among Americans, among the world, really. It has nothing to do with whether you're profit or nonprofit. So we all need to be aware. As you guys know, before anyone could sue your agency for harassment or discrimination, they first have to bring a charge with the EEOC. So we pay attention to those charges because it kind of tells us what the trends are and what's happening. So we've all been very curious to see how the EEOC was going to respond to Me Too. And what they did last year in 2018, they filed 41 sexual harassment lawsuits. That's a 50% increase from the year before. Now, for those of you who are unclear, what this means is, so if I want to sue your agency for harassment, I first go to the EEOC and file a charge. And in the vast majority of cases, they issue a letter that just says to me, we don't know what happened, but you can sue if you want, right? But what they're starting to do now is say, you know what? We think you have a good case, and we'd like to sue on your behalf. So they take over their case, that case, using all of the federal government's resources, which I realize today is zero resources. But usually, the federal government is not somebody you want to be in a lawsuit against. In addition, the EEOC's recovered $70 million for sexual harassment victims. That's up from $47 million. Keep in mind that this was in 2018. I really think these are going to skyrocket next year because a victim of harassment has a year, more or less, to bring his or her complaint to the EEOC, and then they have a year, more or less, to issue their findings. So I think a lot of these things are percolating right now, and we're going to see even higher numbers next year.